Hello, this is Robert Richards, and you're listening to The Waterhole, our weekly broadcast, which is now available on iTunes and all major podcast platforms. You can also watch the weekly video broadcast on our YouTube channel, links in the description. I pray this has been a blessing to you, and if you've enjoyed this message, please share this with a friend. God bless you, and remember, no matter where you are and what you've done, Jesus loves you. Get your Bibles out. And if you would go to just the middle of your Bible and throw that baby open. Because I'm not really sure where I'm going right now. Today I'm starting a new series. And as of right now, the title of the series is The Mantle of God. And I may change it, but right now that's what it's going to be. Years ago, the Lord spoke to me and told me about four different books that he wanted me to write. And one of these was this topic, The Mantle of God, and I've never approached it, never tried to write a book on it. But the Lord has been speaking to me in a different way that I really am excited about. Because, see, I don't like mystical things. I don't like, you know, super hyper spiritual things. I like applicable things. I like the Lord to speak to me from the Bible some way that I can apply it to my life. I can see it work. I don't need to know, you know, the great theology of, you know, the old whatever and this and get so, you know, up in my head that I can't just, when I'm angry, figure out how to get happy. Are y'all with me? When I need finances, how to call forth finances. When I am sick, how to be healed. You know, I want the practical, applicable things in my life. That's what we live with every day. Doesn't do me any good if I know Jesus is coming back at a certain date and certain time if I'm sick before he comes. Hello? We got to have those things. Listen, man, I preached a Wednesday night's message, you know, a couple of weeks ago, and I felt like I was really rough on everybody and felt bad about it when I went home, but it's just the truth. We just got to come to a place in life, church, where all of us as Christians, our integrity, our character, our honor means something. I don't care how many Bible verses you can quote. If you're mean, nobody cares. I don't care if you can pray in tongues and call fire down from heaven. If you're ugly to people, nobody wants to listen to you. I mean, my goodness, we got to have people that we can be happy because Jesus makes us happy, and then the world wants what we got, not, you know, we're no grump, so why would they want what we got? Hello? So anyway, it was really interesting because, anyway, the Lord had been speaking to me about understanding how to truly walk in what God has called us to walk in, what God has gifted us to walk in, and then actually walking in it. You know, it's one thing has anybody ever given you a gift, but then you never used it? Y'all laugh. Sometimes gifts people give you are unusable, but you know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't do you any good. It didn't benefit you. Even though somebody gave you something, even so you received a gift, if you didn't use it, then it's just a paperweight. Even if that. You follow me? Each and every one of you are gifted people. Each and every one of you are blessed and anointed and gifted people. You were born, God created you in your mother's womb. He brought you into this world, and he gifted you, he blessed you, he created you for a purpose. You have a purpose. And then in each of our lives, as we walk this path in life, depending on how you were raised, depending on what events took place in your life, you may have got railroaded, you may have gotten off from really walking in the gifts that God gave you in life, the mantle that God put over you in life. You got off, you got sidetracked, and some of you, it's hard for you to find your way back. Others of you have given up on it. Others of you, you've gotten so far off the path that you can't see it anymore, and you need some direction back, and that's what this message is about, to try to help you to find that place, that gift, that road that Jesus has for you, that you can find joy and happiness, peace, the blessings of God falling upon you every day. Okay? That's what this is all about. Now, the interesting thing is that most of the time when a pastor starts talking like this, he turns it into gifts of the Spirit, how you're going to lay hands on the sick and see people get healed or preach the gospel or whatever. But I'm really talking about the more applicable things. Like for you parents, how you instill godliness in your children. You don't think that God has gifted you as parents to have the ability to minister to your kids? That whatever job you're in, or if you're in the wrong job, well, here we go. We start in school tomorrow, is that right? Okay, so all teachers stand up. Everybody's involved in school. Teachers, whoever, y'all stand up. Now, this is what I would say to you. Okay? Everybody's looking at Lana Beth. She's retired. But we're all staring at her. Why aren't you standing up? 69 years you've been standing up for this prayer. Okay, so teachers, let me speak to you for just a second. Whatever your job is in the school, you got to stand up. I'm not through. Come on, you can make it. Endure in the name of Jesus. Whatever your job is, whatever you're doing for the school, if you don't like children, I can tell you it's the wrong job for you. Quit. Right? What I'm saying is your gifting that you're doing should be motivated towards what it is. And if you don't like kids, but you decided you want to be a school teacher, something's wrong. You're on the wrong path. Hello? Okay. So I want to just pray over y'all. Father, I just declare right now in the name of Jesus that all around our area, these representing here, all the teachers, all the homeschoolers, all the teachers in this whole area, not just in Utopia, Lord, I just declare tomorrow when they go to school, the teachers are going to be blessed. They're going to have joy. They're going to have peace. They're going to have they're going to be the mouthpiece of God speaking into children's lives, encouraging them, strengthening them, letting them see a vision of their lives that God loves them and that God can do great things for them. That, Lord, I declare in the name of Jesus that everywhere that the children would that the enemy wants to destroy schools and do harm, I declare in Jesus' name, sovereignly protected, blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you got to understand, you can sit down. Thank you. God bless you. Many blessings. Now, I want you to understand something. Let me just say this. I have never been known to be speechless. But the other day, I was asked to come to a school, I'll say the other day, 8 months ago, to come to a school and to speak to an assembly. And it was the whole class from kindergarten through 12, the whole school. And I was asked to speak to the assembly. And I want to tell y'all something. When I looked at those little kids' faces, I lost it. I looked at them and I'm like, I don't know what to say to you. I don't know how to communicate to you. I'm sorry. Something's changed in my life. I am speechless. And all I could get was about 10 minutes. And finally, I looked at one of the teachers and I said, help me, please. I'm through. So obviously, that's not what I'm called to do. Are y'all with me? What I'm saying is that there's gifts and callings in your life that God placed within you. And that if you learn to operate in those gifts and callings, and you learn how God has created you to be, and so you operate in them, you're going to find the Red Seas are parting. You're going to find that the fire is coming down. You're going to find that God is blessing you and multiplying in you and healing you and touching you, and your life is blessed. But if you don't understand that, and you're trying to do it in your strength and your power or what you think is right, then what's going to happen to you is you're going to become tired. You're going to become frustrated. Okay? You're going to not walk in joy and peace. Hello? Now, sure, you can just be tired from just being tired. You can be frustrated from just obstacles that come in life and still be on the right path. Okay? I'm not saying in life that you never have any, you know, that it's just all a bed of roses. But I want to tell you something. You see, I love it when I know, it makes me confident that when I hear God and He tells me to drop 7 drops of oil down a well and 7 springs come up and the well goes, that I know that I'm in the right place. Are y'all with me? It blesses me to know that when I'm walking in life and I see God's hand moving and I see God delivering me and I see God speaking and I see things happening, that I'm on the right path, that even though it's hard, even though it's difficult, I keep going down it because I know I see God moving. But folks, you're not called to raise your children without the anointing of God. You're not called to shoulder responsibilities for jobs and things like that without the anointing of God. But we got to understand this, okay? In the Old Testament, prophets wore mantles. And a mantle was not what hung on their house and over their fireplace. It was their robe, whatever they put on. You got to understand, these guys were traveling. They were always sleeping outside. And it was basically their trench coat, basically their, you know, duster that they had, that they put on, that when they went to lay down on the fields at night, they'd pull it up on them. It was whatever they had. Then as things progressed and went along, church picked it up. And they started making mantles to be representative. So if you were a prophet, if you had a prophet's anointing, well, then your mantle may look a certain way. If you were an evangelist, your evangelistic anointing, your mantle may look a certain way. And they used this symbolism, but they had it be different colors. But what I like to say is this. You know, how many of you guys, let me ask you something, how many of you guys own a brush jacket? Why do you want a brush jacket? It's because that's what you gravitated to, because probably that's what your father wore. It's useful in brush. It's useful, it's rough, it's rugged, it's what's around this area. You buy a brush jacket because it fits. But, you know, if you're going to go work in a corporate office, you probably wouldn't wear a brush jacket. Am I right? But if you see somebody in a brush jacket, you look at them and say, oh, well, you know what they do. It kind of signifies their occupation. Like a painter, if he was wearing, you saw somebody wearing white pants and a white shirt, you know, and you'd say, well, that guy, he may be a painter. You follow me. So the mantle also, in actuality, is that each and every one of you, we're all different people. We all have a different life. We're all called to do something different, but you have a mantle for your life. My wife and I were discussing the National Finals Rodeo, and we like to go every year, and I tell her, I want to go because I get blessed. It's not that I'm like so up on all my rodeo people and I'm such a big rodeo fan, but it's that I go into a coliseum of 10,000 people of a like spirit. And I see the way they're dressed, and I see the way that they are, and I listen to what they're talking about, and I know that they would probably not be necessarily the most godliest bunch you could be around, but I know that they all believe in God. And that come down to it, if somebody challenged that, they would throw down and get in a fight over it, but they're going to stand up for Jesus because that's what's within their hearts. It's what's in the Western world. And I relate to it. I can look at them, and that guy's dressed, and he's got his hat on and his shirt on and his boots on and his belt on. And, you know, you can look at somebody and judge them pretty quickly if they bought it that week or they actually own it. And I relate to that. I understand them. Bikers, motorcycle riders, Harley riders. I can look at it. I can understand it. You know who's the real deal and who's not. It's your mantle. It's who you are. Some of you have forgotten. Some of you didn't even know you had a mantle. Some of you never were taught this. This may be the first time you've ever in life even been in a church and heard the word mantle or anointing. But some of you have lost it, and some of you didn't know you had it. And it's time that we understand who we are and whose we are. And it's time in this day that we can be able to stand up in church, stand up in life, stand up wherever we are, and we know our mantle and understand it, okay? So this is what this is all about. I want to give you a scripture. Look at The book of Job. Old Testament, I'll give you some Old Testament scriptures first. Job 29. Job 29, 14. Job 29, 14 says, I put on righteousness and it clothed me. My justice was like a robe and a turban. He put on righteousness and it clothed him. Go to Isaiah chapter 61, verse 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with his robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. The Bible talks about when you go to heaven that we're going to receive robes of righteousness. The Bible is full of time after time, passage after passage, that it talks about being clothed with God's mantle. Another word that you can say in there, because I'm not splitting hairs in this thing, I paint with a broad brush. Another word you can say besides mantle is anointing. You can say you have an anointing for something. Are you with me? See, now we're getting into religious cliche terms, but I want to explain this to you because I want you to be able to understand it and use it. We say, so-and-so, he's anointed to do that. Let him go do it. Well, what does it mean? Well, it's the same illustration, same word. He has a mantle on him. He has an authority on him. He has a calling on him. He has an anointing on him. He has an ability to do something that someone else couldn't do. Each of us in this room, we all have abilities to do things that you can do and I can't do. So we can call them abilities, but you can call it anointing or you can call it the mantle. But whatever it is, you need to understand it. Because Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27 says, and it shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from his neck and his yoke from your neck. And the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. You see, in the Old Testament, it's always amazed me. In the Old Testament, you can go look it up. It's in, write it down, look it up later. It's in the book of Exodus, chapter 30, verse 25. That they would make what they call the anointing oil of the apocrypha. And it was certain spices and certain ingredients that they put together and they made this anointing oil. And they could bring in anything that was ceremonially unclean. And it was unclean. That thing was sitting there unclean. But they could take the anointing oil and take one drop of it and pour it onto that whatever it be. Instantly, in God's eyes, it was clean. Well, you know the oil didn't go all over it. You know that the oil didn't, you know, it didn't say pour. You know, if it's a 2-foot by 4-foot problem, then, you know, pour 3 gallons of anointing oil on it. You know, it didn't say, no, you just had to take a drip. It just had to be anointed. It just had to hit it. And when it touched it and fell on it, it was clean. Are y'all with me? If one drop of anointing oil can cleanse something naturally, what do you think of one drop of the anointing from heaven can do on your life? One drop of the blood of Jesus can cleanse all your sins. You think about this. You're standing there as an absolute sinner headed to hell, burn a fiery trail to hell. Spirit of God touches your heart. You say, Father, forgive me for I've sinned. I believe Jesus, you're my Lord and Savior. Instantaneously, you went from a sinner straight to a saint. See, God wants to do that in your life. We struggle and we fight in our natural abilities and our own strengths. We're trying to make things happen, but my gosh, he has an ability to just put one drop of anointing oil on there and boom, take care of the situation. But we don't use it. And we don't use it because we don't understand it. So we're going to learn to understand it. I'm going to take some time in the next few weeks to sit here and understand this, because folks, we're too frustrated. We're too tired. We're too clouded in our visions. We're not walking and flowing in the things that God could have us in, because things have happened in our lives that have sidetracked us, have damaged us, have tripped us up in life. And we need God's anointing on our lives to set us free from those problems, to set us free from those pains, to set us free from those false directions, those illusions that have taken us away. And when God's anointing touches you, you see, I was born into a ranching family. We all, for 100 years, all the Richards had been ranchers. And we went broke and we lost the ranch. It was a horrible, painful thing for me. My heart was broken that I had lost the ranch. And one day I'm driving down the road. I've gotten saved. I'm reading the Bible. I'm praying. I'm talking to God. I'm developing a relationship. But I'm driving down the road, and as God is my witness, I said, Lord, you have got to deliver me from this pain. It is too great. I can't function. I can't think of anything other than that we lost the ranch. I am heartbroken. God, you have got to do something to heal my heart. And as I'm driving down the road, right there, I'm going to work, it is as if the Spirit of God came and sat in the car with me. I didn't see a bright light. I didn't see a cloud. I didn't see any mist. I didn't see any oil start oozing around my truck. You know, in those days, if it was, I had a problem. I need to pull over, you know. There was nothing holy, nothing, you know, unspecial. But I knew that the presence of God was there in that vehicle with me. And He touched my heart. And I can't tell you how it happened. All I can tell you is I was there. But the instant that I drove a few more miles in that car and thanked Him for touching my heart, when I got to work, I was healed. And the pain of losing the ranch, I still had knowledge of it. I still knew that I did lose it. But the pain of it, the sting of the pain of what the enemy had done to me, it was gone. Today, I can still drive by what used to be ours. And I can look at it, and there's a twinge in the back of my heart. Just like a little reminder of the scar, I guess you could say. You know how when you cut yourself and you got a scar, there's a scar that doesn't hurt anymore, but there is a little scar there? There's a scar there. I know it. But I'm healed. I can function. I'm not grieving. How did that happen? You can call it whatever you want to call it, but it's the anointing of God that touched me so that I could then function in the mantle, in the calling that He had for me. You're called to raise your children. You're called to live this life. The Bible says that you were born into this time, and I can say it this way. You were born in this time, in this place, and you're here because that's where God said you was the best place you were going to be able to preach the gospel and receive the gospel, or receive the gospel and preach the gospel. I watch the old Westerns and I think, oh, Lord, man, that would have been great to have been born then, you know. Or I watch, you know, think about David and his mighty man. Oh, if I could have just rode with David, that would have been cool. But that didn't where God had me. He has me here. All right? Born to the family I was born to, living in this area that I'm living. For a reason, for a purpose. You can wish all you want to that you were somewhere else, but if you're here, you better just grab hold of it. You either have gotten lost and wandered into this region, and God got you into this church to help you get back on track where you need to be, or you're supposed to have been here. I've always declared that this church, Living Water Church, we are not going to be a corral. We're a water hole. I want to have you come in here and drink water from the Spirit of God, get free, and if God sends you somewhere else, then glory to God, go. I'm not going to corral you in here and say you have to stay here for the rest of your life. You've got to come in here and drink from the waters and get free. I want you to be the man and woman of God God called you to be. I prefer you, you know, well, if you're nice, stay here. If you're not, I'm pretty sure God called you somewhere else. That's terrible. Okay. But now, let's take the same thought and let's look at it. Because see, the Old Testament is nothing but a shadow, a type and a shadow of what was to come in the New Testament. So let's go look at what the New Testament says about these same principles of what I'm talking about here, and let's put it in a New Testament lingo. Let's go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. Galatians 3:27, for as many of you as were baptized unto Christ have put on Christ. Everybody say, put on Christ. How you going to put on Christ? You know? But let's just go on. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. He's talking about putting on Christ. Okay, let's read another one here. Book of Romans, chapter 13. Romans 13, 11. I know I'm just laying a lot of groundwork here. The message gets better. I'm making you learn something here this morning. I'm stretching you. Romans 13, 11 says, and do this, knowing the time that now is a high time to awake out of sleep. For our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in rivalry and drunkenness, nor in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Put on Jesus. You can just write this one down. 1 John 2 and 20 says that you have an anointing from the Holy One and you know all things. Now, I don't know about y'all, but there's a lot of things I could say, I don't know what you're talking about. But in other words, every person in here, you have been anointed. You're not going to be. You have been anointed. But if you don't put on Christ, the anointing isn't going to function in your life. So we got to understand this. We got to understand, what does it mean? What does it mean to be anointed? What does it mean to put on Christ? Okay? Let's get this, got to get it in our head. So go to John chapter 14. Gospel of John chapter 14. You know what's funny is I haven't even gotten into the message yet. I just got like just this preach that I'm just pushing down the whole time that I want to jump in, but I know I got to lay this groundwork here for you. You got to see it in the Word. 1 John 14, 15. John, the Gospel of John, 14, 15. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, in whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells in you and will be in you and will not leave you as orphans, and I will come to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 says, you are the temple of the living God, and the Spirit of God lives in you. How are you going to put on Christ? You're going to put on Christ when you realize and ask for the power of the Holy Spirit to be in your life, and you start acknowledging at every moment of every day, Jesus, I want to be like you. I want to walk like you. I want to understand you. I want to be like you. I want the power of the Holy Spirit to be in my life. And Lord, you're living in me. You're dwelling in me, so cover me. You say, well, that sounds too simple. It is. Nothing in the gospel is complicated. God made it so easy for us, we should all be walking in. But what happens to us is we say, oh, I can do that. And the moment you say, I can do that, the Spirit of God steps back. Holy Ghost steps back and says, oh, then go do it. And then you go do it. And then you get tired and frustrated. Bust your knuckles. Wrench slips. How many of you have ever lost something and then you looked all over the house for it and you looked and looked and looked and looked and looked and looked and you couldn't find it, you looked and looked and looked, and then finally you stopped and prayed and said, Holy Ghost, would you show me where this is? And then in a minute it pops up. Why didn't we pray first? Why had we gone through and exhausted our resources, looked everywhere we possibly could before we stopped and prayed? That's the story of humanity. The story of humanity is that we always try to do everything on our own strength. We start a business, we work the business, we work our fingers to the bone. When it's failing, we cry out to God. What I'm trying to teach you is to turn that around and start out by hearing the word of the Lord, having the anointing, understanding your anointing, understanding the mantle upon your life, understanding that you were indwelt by the Holy Spirit, learn to walk in the Spirit, learn to have that relationship with the Holy Spirit, and start out there and let Him direct you so you don't end up over here in a mud puddle. But it's a hard thing to continually do because as humans, we're too stupid and hard-headed, and we continually do it on our own strength. Then we become tired, we become frustrated, we turn to drugs, alcohol, you know, whatever, to try to get ourselves built back up and feeling good, and then we just go farther down the road, and we go farther down the road, and then we tear it up, and then we get more messed up, and then we turn to this, and we turn to that, and then we got to go to freedom prayer to get ourselves back on track because we've gotten lost. And there's nothing, listen, folks, I've gotten lost on my road before. All of us do. You're full of pride if you think, oh, that doesn't happen to me. I'm just right down the road. Listen, buddy, you got problems. You're just not looking at it. We all do. And we might as well fess up to it and understand that we all are that away. And we all have issues. And we got to get on the right road. Now, I want to show you this. Go to the book of James. James chapter 5. I'm just about to get to the message. James chapter 5, verse 17. Now, for me to help you with this and to show you this for these next few weeks, I'm going to use the prophet Elijah, and I'm going to go through his life and his story here to kind of help illustrate all of this. But I want to show you this before we start out. James 5, 17 says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. So right off the bat, everything you're going to read here in a minute, everything you're going to hear, everything you're going to hear for the next few weeks, you got to understand, every time I say Elijah, you need to say inside of you, he's just like me. You got to understand something. See, I don't even know if you believe me. I don't even know if you believe me. All I can do is tell you the truth, and you just have to accept it. People have come to me since the day I started preaching, and they've said to me, oh my gosh, you know, man, you're so amazing, and you do such an amazing job when you preach, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I laugh, because I'm just me. Because it's not me. It's the anointing. It's not. Folks, everything I told you, I just wrote this down an hour ago. Every thought, everything I have preached, now God's been stirring in my heart this whole thing, and I feel it rumbling down in my stomach like when you're hungry. But it's down in my spirit, and it's just rolling around, and I've been reading, studying, and praying, and looking, but I haven't just gone to some in-depth, huge study on the mantle of God. I've walked in this for years, and I looked at it, but I'm just telling you, He puts it all together and He spews it out. And when you get blessed, it's not me, it's Him. When He touches you and you hear something and you say, ah, it's like last week, Pastor Charles, when he was preaching, I was sitting over there and when he said, God is your source, not your resource, that hit me right in the heart. And I was like, whoo, that is good. That is, I needed to hear this morning. God is my source, not my resource. Whatever I'm doing right now could be, you know, this construction business. That thing dries up. God opens up another resource, but God didn't leave me because He's my source. Don't lose my focus, Robert. Man, I went over that all week. I prayed. I looked up some scriptures. I did all that, but it hit me. God used Him to speak to me. You follow what I'm saying? It's the anointing. It's supernatural. It is a miracle. And I want to tell you all this. This doesn't have anything, again, to do with me. The more you walk into that door in faith, and the more you walk in here hungry, wanting to receive, the more God will use me to speak to you. You come in here deadpan, just doing your service or going to church, just wanting to come in here and do your penance, say a few prayers during praise and worship, your feet are tired, and all he can think about is doing is getting home and doing like that, that anointing's not going to flow. God's not going to move. And then you're going to walk out the door and say, oh, Pastor, he wasn't too good today, was he? He didn't quite seem to have the same zip. Must be something going on in his life. I bet he's in sin. And all it is that the anointing didn't get pulled on because you didn't have any faith. I'm only as good as the degree that the anointing can move. Why do you think revival happens? What happens in revival? What happens in revival is a whole bunch of people get excited and get congregated, and the Spirit of God starts to move. We want to have revival here? You got to come through those doors hungry for the Spirit of God, and the anointing of God will flow. And you'll see miracles and signs and wonders and all kinds of blessings, and it really doesn't have anything to do with me. I'm just the donkey that God is using to stand up here and pray. You don't see anywhere in the Bible when Balaam got his donkey, spoke to him, that then they started a breed of talking donkeys. You don't see any of that in the Bible. You don't see that it came along and that now today you can still buy a talking donkey. It was a miracle. It just took place for the moment and the time. That's what revival is. A group of enough hungry people get together, and then revival breaks out, and the Spirit of God starts moving, and all the guys that are the same guys they were the week before, but now the anointing and the gifting is being drawn upon. Well, it's the same with you. You got to understand something. Elijah, all that we're going to read about him, calling fire down from heaven, the jar of oil that never runs dry, the miracles of the ravens coming and feeding him. He was a man just like you. He says he has like passions. He was the same person. No difference. If Elijah walked in it, listen to me. I'm preaching really good here. I stirred your faith and I feel it drawn on me. Listen, I won't tell you. Elijah's the same man as you are. And if Elijah called fire down from heaven, you have the ability to call fire down from heaven if your faith so will let you. What happens to us is we say, I don't think I could do that. You're not going to do it. You're not going to do it. But if Elijah could do it, and if Elijah did it, then you could. And he was not clothed in the Holy Ghost. He only had the mantle, but he understood it. We're going to see how when Elisha gets the mantle of Elijah, that he goes and smacks water with it and says, let the Lord God of Elijah part the waters. And he just smacks waters and waters jump back because he understood the anointing. When you understand the anointing in your life, listen, tell you something, you'll call fire down from heaven in your own lives. When you understand the anointing of God in your lives, you will call finances in from the north, the south, the east, and the west, and they'll come into your bank account just like those seven streams of water did in your well. You say, well, I don't know, Pastor, I don't know how it's going to be. Exactly. That's why it's not happening. Because you don't believe it. Oh, I've always wanted to lay hands on the sick and see him get well, but I've been playing over this hangnail like I didn't, it ain't gone away yet. Yeah, you're defeated. Before I got to my house, from my house this morning when I left to get to here, after I had this whole message in here, I wanted to turn my truck around and just drive home and not even come in here and preach. Just say, y'all can just figure it out yourself. Because the enemy started attacking me before I ever got here. And I had to stop and say, why don't you shut up? Who are you? Get out of here. You think it's not the same? It's the same for me as it is for you. It would have been so easy for me just to come into the parking lot, say, bless them, Lord, drive right around and go home. And then when my wife got through playing, saying, where's Pastor? See? But I'm an overcomer. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm hard-headed. I'm stubborn. I understand my anointing, I understand my giftings, and I'm believing God that somebody here today and somebody listening over the radio, somebody hearing it off of a podcast today is going to get blessed and is going to get on fire and is going to hear that they're anointed. They're going to seek and they're going to dig and they're going to scratch and they're going to fight through and they're going to be amazing, amazing man or woman of God on the face of this earth and bless and help somebody, and that means everything to me. When I, listen, do you think, okay, I like Guatemala. I like the country. I like the food. I like the people. I love Spanish. But you know, the bottom line is, folks, my house is more comfortable. I don't have to get on an airplane. I don't have to fly anywhere. I don't have to put up with the TSA. They're not at my house. They're not checking me out. Are y'all with me? It's a lot easier to stay home. But I have to get my phone, and I have the pictures of the kids on there, and I have to look at those little kids' faces, and I have to look at those two that are Brenda, who came in that lived under a tree, and now she looks like a whole a completely different person. And I have to look at myself and say, if I keep going, we'll win more. If we build the church, there'll be salvations in heaven. If we struggle through and we fight through this, and we get it done, We'll see those souls get touched, and I got to do it. I got to keep going, and I pick myself up and say, we've got to go on. Because it would be easier not to. It would be easier not to be believing God for finances and trying to struggle through all those kind of things. But folks, if you understand your anointing and you understand how it works, then all of a sudden it's a joy. Because it is like walking in the anointing is like understanding how to shoot your gun really well. I mean, you know you're going to hit your target. Y'all can laugh all you want to. I have a pistol that I have had since I was a child. Got it when I was 3. No. Used it as a rattle. No. I'm joking. Really, I'm joking. I've had this pistol since I was 15. It seems like I was a child. And I tell you what, I can point it in any direction and shoot, and it'll hit what I want to hit. He said, no, I'm telling you, I love this. I have more confidence in this thing. I have killed more hogs with this thing. I have shot more animals with this thing. I love this pistol, but I'm just saying, if I just point it in that direction, I can just sling bullets, whoop, and it just hits what I want it to hit. That's how much confidence I have in it. Are y'all with me? When you get that confident in the anointing of God, when you get that much confidence in knowing that what God's called you to do, when you have that much confidence in the gifts and the callings of God upon your life and that you are clothed in Christ and you understand the Holy Spirit working with you, then when you speak and call things into being, when you speak and tell waters to part, when you tell mountains to go into the sea, when you tell blessings to come your way, when you speak over somebody's life and you see God move because you're walking in that anointing, folks, listen to me. It's glorious. It's glorious. When you're not in the anointing and you're struggling over here trying to do everything on your own and everything's driving you crazy and everything's making you crazy and you just feel crazy and stressed and just want to tear into things and stuff doesn't work right and you're living your life like that, it's no fun at all. And I'm telling you, every one of you has that ability because 1 John 2:20 is all y'all's. You have an anointing from the Holy One. It's yours. It may be in the gifting of raising your children or teaching that school or doing this or doing that or whatever, but it's there and you've got to use it, and it's called the Holy Ghost, and He's what's on you, in you, and clothing you. And when you understand that, then all of a sudden, things happen. Things happen. All right? I really am through. I just want to give you one thing. Go to 1 Kings 17, because that's where we're going to be now for the next few weeks. This man Elijah, who's just like you, or you're just like him. This man had the same amount of faith. Oh, wait a minute. He didn't have a Bible. He didn't have an iPad. He didn't have 27 translations of the Bible. Oh, wait a minute. He didn't have preaching like we got right now. Okay? So actually, you got the advantage on him. And it says that this guy, who you're like, it says in 1 Kings 17:1, it says, and Elijah the Tishbite, I mean, how would you like a name? The Elijah the Tishbite. Tishbite? Hey, Mr. Tishbite. I mean, it seems to me he already had, I'm sure it sounds better in Hebrew. I hope. Because, I mean, it just doesn't sound very... Right? Am I? I mean, if you say, how many of y'all even know this? I said, if you said, yeah, my name's Quirt Evans. Come on, y'all. Quirt Evans? Do y'all know Quirt Evans? No? Oh, Father, forgive them. John Wayne's name and Angel and the Bad Man. Quirt Evans. I mean, that carries some weight with it. Hey, my name's Quirt. Quirt Evans. My name's Elisha the Tishbite. You know? He had some strikes against him. But anyway, it says, Elisha the Tishbite, as the inhabitants of Gilead, said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel is, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word. And this is what I want to leave you with this morning. He said, the Lord God in whom I stand. Church, it's time that all of us understand that our Christianity is not church membership, that our Christianity is membership in the kingdom of God. And that you, born again, blood-washed believers, are saints in the body of Christ. That you carry weight and you carry power and you carry authority because you are robed and clothed in Christ. And it's time for us to quit dwelling in the past and letting our past sins and mistakes trip us and knock us down. It's time in life that we walk in life as the sons and daughters of God we're called to be and quit looking at our future failures that we think we're going to do and start saying, no, now today's a new day. This day is a new day. This day I am clothing myself with Christ. This day I am taking the mantle of God upon my shoulders. This day I'm taking the empowerment of the Spirit of God upon my life. And I'm going to walk in the power of God and I'm going to walk in the anointing that's on my life to accomplish what He's called me for in my life. Now, let me just state one thing. If you're wondering, what did He call me to accomplish in life? Wherever you are right now, that's it. How's that? Is that simple enough? Don't look 10 years down the road. Just what are you in today? If you're raising kids, raise those kids. If you're just working a job and learning a job, then learn it. Listen, you say, well, I don't know if I really want to work real hard in this job because, you know, maybe I'm called to do something else. Well, wait a minute. The Bible talks all about faithfulness. And if you can't be faithful, the Bible says, in the little things, you're not going to be faithful in the big things. So if you can't be faithful with what you're doing right now until God promotes you and puts you somewhere else, then wait a minute, that ain't going to work because that's not the way God does things. Promotion comes from the Lord. Listen to me. It doesn't come from the east, the west, the north, the south. Promotion comes from the Lord. Oh, I learned that when it's a hard way. I learned that when I was driving nails as a carpenter, sitting up on roofs, sweating, putting up shingles and just hating it. All the time I knew I was called to preach. I said, Lord, when am I going to go to preach? When are we going to put me out there? When are you going to... I mean, I'm tired of just these little things like this. When do I get to go into the full-time ministry? And that's my employment. When can I go do that? And I'm sick of this, Lord. And I remember the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, until you enjoy this, you're not going anywhere else. And I was like, Lord God, I don't know how I could ever enjoy it. But then one day it hit me. And I said, well, wait a minute. You're right, Lord. Because you said it's your principle. If I got to be faithful in the little before I can be faithful in the much, and if I can't be faithful in the little, then I can't be faithful in the much, so I'm going to be the best worker I can. I'm going to be the best employee I can. And for $5 an hour, nailing shingles down, I'm going to do it. I'm going to clean up. I'm going to do more. I'm not going to do less. I'm going to do more. I'm going to do more than what I feel like I'm paid for, because if I do more than what I feel like I'm paid for, then God, you're going to bless me, because you said if I'd be faithful in the little, then I'd get the much, and I'm not going to get the much until I can take care of the little. And man, when I started working like that 6 months, I wasn't ever working there again. It's really interesting what God wants us to walk through so that we can learn it. But some people stay there all the time, miserable, because they won't learn the principle. And that's what I'm talking about. You got to put on Christ. You got to learn that anointing. You got to learn the mantle so that you can walk in it. You got to learn what it's like to walk with Jesus, to walk in the Spirit, and to understand that and to go down that path, because then you're free. And then all of a sudden, you're the mighty man and woman of God calling fire down from heaven. Hello? Amen? Amen. Well, I'm through. I got to the first scripture of the message. Now listen to me, church. I'm just going to close with this. Matter of fact, everybody just stand up. Let me have my prayer team come down. Whoever's on the prayer team today. I believe in you guys. And I believe each and every one of your desire to do right. I believe each and every one of us desire to walk the path God has for us. If you don't feel that way, don't raise your hand. Okay, that's all right. I'm just believing every one of you, mighty men and women of God. Turn to that person beside you and say, hello, mighty man of God. Now, I'm going to pray for you, because I know in this message, in the next few weeks, we're going to get into some things where Elijah himself got off track. And I know that while we're doing it, God is going to speak to our hearts and help us to get ourselves adjusted to where you possibly may have gotten off track. So I just want to pray right now, and I just want to ask you simply this. If you want to walk with God like I'm talking about, you want to find and understand the mantle on your life, the anointing on your life, you really want that, then I just get your heart in this prayer, because I'm going to pray for you. If you're out there listening or watching and this is speaking to your heart, well, then grab hold of this prayer by faith, because I'm telling you, God wants to move in this day and time. So, Lord, I pray over each and every person here. I pray over everyone listening, everyone whose heart burns to be on the right path with you. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I just pray over us that where we've gotten sidetracked, where we've gotten off, where we've gotten lost, that, Lord, these days that are coming and this message that are coming, you're going to get our hearts right back where they need to be. You're going to get us right back on the path that we need to be. We're going to understand the anointing upon our lives. We're going to understand the mantle upon our lives. We're going to understand how to walk with you in such a way, Lord, that we can be like Elijah. We can call fire down from heaven when we need to. We can see that jar of oil never run dry. And Lord, I praise you for it. Lord, I thank you for it. And I ask you right now to just put your hand upon each one here to bless them, to minister to them. And Lord, those listening, if you're not right with Jesus today, call upon his name. He said anybody that calls upon him, they'll never be ashamed. Call upon the name of Jesus and see him come into your life and touch you and bless you. Lord, I thank you for it. Bless us, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen.